I Hate the Way I Don't Hate You. Written by Susie Carter. Read by Silvercat1620. Summary. Five times Rooster and Hangman hated each other over something stupid, plus the time it turned out that wasn't ever what it had really been about. Notes. For Mim. Big grin. I just couldn't resist that a time they hated each other over stupid thing prompt for these guys. Mim, except I couldn't pick just one stupid thing, or, well, thing Hangman has decided in his head is stupid slash thinks is a big deal but is actually stupid. Bless his heart. I hope you like this, and happy gift basket. Heart. It didn't seem like a significant enough element that it was worth tagging for it, but mixed in with some of Jake's denial about his feelings, there's a touch of internalized homophobia. Title borrowed from, of course, 10 Things I Hate About You. Before. Bradshaw's not bad. He's not. Jake can admit that. It would be stupid not to. Bradshaw would never have made it to Top Gun in the first place if he wasn't pretty fucking good. It's just that it gets to be kind of a thing. It's just that it's so fucking annoying having to hear about Bradshaw all the time. Jake's pretty fucking good too, goddammit. But whenever he brings it up, it's all, oh, hey, Bradshaw did Top Gun too, and yeah, were you there with Rooster? Until he wants to throttle somebody. And then he actually flies with the guy, which, this is what all the fuss was about? Bradshaw's so careful, so fucking slow, second and third guessing himself all the time. He's not even careful the way Jake's careful, making sure he always comes in ahead of everybody else, making sure he never gets shot down in an exercise no matter what he has to do. Granted, it'd be pretty hard for him to elbow his way to first place, given Jake's pretty much got that locked down. But it's like he's not even trying. And the worst part is, everybody likes him anyway. No matter how much he fucks up, no matter how many times he gets himself eliminated before they're even halfway through a drill. Sometimes he even knows he fucked up, and he goes to the rest of the team afterward on the tarmac and says he fucked up right to their faces. But they're still all over him every goddamn time. Whatever. It doesn't matter. Jake settles into his call sign just fine, wears it like a badge of pride. Sure, he's the Hangman. No problem. The Hangman's the last guy left, the one who gets to walk away from the gallows whistling when it's all over. He'll take it. Anyway, it gets to the point where Hangman's glad to finally end up with a transfer that's going to take him away from the guy. He plays it cool and all, but Jesus, he was getting sick of having to see Bradshaw all the time, of having to hear about him, of having nothing in his head but fucking Bradshaw. And getting some distance? That should have fixed it. If distance wasn't going to, then time should have. Distance. Time. Making a kill in the air, the only pilot to do it in decades, which means Hangman's out from under just about every kind of shadow there is, including Bradshaw's. Not that Bradshaw was casting much of one, when he hadn't even set any records, broken any, when he hadn't even... Anyway, the point is, it doesn't really work out the way Hangman expects it to. But if there's anything going to do the trick, it's gotta be this. Getting picked for this, selected for this special detachment, clearly some kind of top motherfucking secret mission. Well, it's not like Bradshaw's gonna be able to beat that. Or at least that's what Hangman thinks, obviously, right up until that afternoon in the bar. One. He's got a little warning, at least. Not like he doesn't hear Phoenix shout Bradshaw's name across the room before he even got those beers in his hands. So he has a handful of seconds to square himself up, to remind himself he's 10 times the badass Bradshaw could ever hope to be. To wink at the poor creaky bastard across the bar who's paying for everybody's drinks tonight. Lay the attitude on thick, because he's got this. And at first it's working out just fine. Bradshaw sets him up like you wouldn't believe, telling him straight out like that he looks good. Jesus. Not that he means it, not like... He doesn't swing that way, obviously, and neither does Hangman. Because, yeah, sure, Jake's made out with other dudes plenty of times. Not for real or anything. in bars, clubs, because chicks dig that shit. That's what always made it hot, obviously. Chicks watching it happen. That's why he was always so into it, so worked up afterward. It didn't have anything to do with the dudes, with their hands on him, with getting to hook an arm around their shoulders and lick his way into their mouths. Which is great, because the rules might say that you can be gay in the military now, but that doesn't make it easy to do. That doesn't make it easy to do it and be the best, to have people acknowledge that you are, and Jake's going to be the best if it fucking kills him. So it's fine. It's not a big deal. It's okay to look at Bradshaw, to keep looking, to say, I am too good to be true. As if Bradshaw might have been wishing for him. Not that Bradshaw had been, that much is obvious from the look on his face. And it's not like Hangman actually gives a shit. He's going to be team leader. He's got to be. He wants them all thinking it, competing for second place like it's the only prize there is, because that'll do half the work for him. And he's getting there. He's sure he is. And then the music cuts out. The jukebox, the song he paid for, goes dead for the sake of the poor son of a bitch who's getting overboard tonight. Who turns out, which is fair enough, but it insult to injury. Because Bradshaw goes right for the piano. And Phoenix goes with him. And suddenly nobody gives half a shit about Hangman kicking their asses at a pool table. He gives the fuck up, goes to help toss the cheapskate outside. Makes him feel better, a little, getting to make a point out of somebody. But when he gets back inside, nobody's put the jukebox back on. Bradshaw's still singing, everybody clustered around him, shouting along, and Hangman might as well be invisible. Ridiculous, obviously, to get pissed about Bradshaw taking a turn at the piano. But it's like nothing's changed. Not one goddamn thing. Hangman feels the same old stinging resentment burning him up from the inside out, looking at Bradshaw over there. Happy, grinning and belting out oldies under the fucking porn stash he's growing, not sparing a single fucking thought for Hangman. Fuck Bradley fucking Bradshaw anyhow. 2. Hangman flies the way he always does. He's good at it. He's fucking spectacular. And he's not going to let anybody drag him down over an exercise when there's nothing on the line except pride, except proving yourself. He's not getting shot down for anybody else's sake. If he can fly his way out of it, and they can't, that just makes him the better pilot. And sure, nobody loves it in the air, but he's used to that. Nobody likes getting shown up. They don't want him to make them look bad, like they couldn't cut it, when half of them are getting eliminated and everybody knows it. That's all it is. He's not expecting Rooster to get so pissed about it. Granted, he maybe doesn't do the best job choosing his moment. Rooster's got a lot of push-ups in front of him. It's just, Rooster was so goddamn close. He flew it so fucking well, and he almost had the shot, almost took Maverick out. For a second there, it was, Hangman could see so clearly exactly what it was Rooster needed to do, exactly when he needed to do it, and if he could have willed Rooster through it, he would have. And he hadn't been thinking twice about the exercise, about himself or his record. He hadn't been thinking about anything but Rooster, wanting so hard with every inch of himself for Rooster to pull it off, and no way to make it happen. And Jesus, it was the first time he'd ever wished he were better at talking to people, helping them, making them believe in themselves, because he didn't know what the fuck to say except, come on, you got him, drop down, as if Rooster didn't fucking know. But that was some wild flying, at the very least. He's thinking, and he can acknowledge that. So he stops Rooster on the tarmac before Rooster's even reported into Hondo. Just a hand on his arm, and he says, hey man, that was something else. You almost had him. Next time, huh? And Rooster turns on him, whip quick, eyes hard, and scoffs, yeah, and where the hell were you? Hangman blinks, startled, caught on his back foot for a second before he manages to pull it together with a shrug. I don't know, seemed like you two were working through a few things out there. I'd have hated to interrupt. Rooster's mouth twists, and Jesus, Hangman's never seen him look so bitter. You could have taken him out if you'd bothered to try. But you don't give a shit, do you? You don't get it. You can break every record. You can pull off every trick move any idiot ever invented. You can make yourself look like the best in the world on paper. But you're never going to be a pilot worth flying with when the chips are down because you don't care about anything but yourself. Which is fucking rich, considering. considering it was his first fucking time he'd ever come close up there, and apparently Rooster didn't notice at all. Who's talking? Rooster hadn't been paying attention to a goddamn thing except trying to get one over on Maverick. Fuck this. Hangman smiles, slow, smooth, and then makes a face, a parody of a hit landing. Ouch, he murmurs in a warm, bright tone that says he didn't feel a thing. Harsh words. And Rooster closes it all back up again, shutters himself up, blows out a breath and shakes his head, turns around without another word and starts jogging off across the tarmac towards Hondo. Stupid thing for Rooster to get himself all worked up over. Jesus. What the hell is his problem anyway? Not that it matters. Hangman will show Rooster what's what next time they're in the air, and then Rooster won't be able to dismiss him like that. Then Hangman will be the one walking away and leaving Rooster behind. 3. The thing is, Hangman just cannot figure out what the deal is with Rooster and Maverick. It's driving him nuts. None of his business, his magnificent and shapely ass. It's all of their business, because it's happening right the fuck in front of them every single day. It's just one more goddamn thing about Rooster that shouldn't make as matter as much as it does. Shouldn't take up as much space in Hangman's head as it does. But there's nothing he can do about it. Fucking Rooster. 4. Then he finds the photo. It's nothing that ought to be a big deal, not really. He's just stating the facts. Old news to Rooster and Maverick both. But boy, you wouldn't know it the way Rooster reacts. The way he looks at Hangman. Sudden, sharp, all the weight of his attention on Hangman alone. And then, Jesus Christ, the way he lunges up out of his chair. No holds barred, no hesitation, just doing it. Present and awake and alive, fucking blazing. God, why does he keep all that stifled the rest of the time? And if this is what it takes to get it, to make him give it up, it would be everything Hangman could possibly ask for, wouldn't it? Rooster with nowhere else to look, nowhere else he wants to look, over him, holding him down, using his strength, his weight, his body, making Hangman feel it with every punch. Obviously. It's legit to want to punch each other. It's not weird to goad another guy into hitting you, trying to, into wrestling you to the floor, into making you yield. Nobody would think twice about it. Nobody would think that you might be, that you might want. Then hell, Hangman will bring up his old man to his face 6 times a day. But everybody else in the room moves too, including Maverick. They hold Rooster back, talk him down. It's over before it even really started. The look in Rooster's eyes after, though, says he's not going to forget it. And for a minute, that look feels like winning. That look feels like Hangman's finally taking up some space Rooster can't get back. Like maybe Rooster hates it, just as much as Hangman always has. In between. Dogfight football on the beach is good. It's a good day. A relief. A break from the strain of the mission hanging over all their heads. It's a good day. There's no excuse. Rooster isn't doing anything wrong. Rooster isn't doing anything wrong, just standing there, shirtless in his sunglasses and those fucking cut-off jeans all wet with the surf, and Hangman doesn't have any good reason to be pissed at him. And what's left when Hangman doesn't have anything to hate him for is... He feels... 5. He's the fucking backup. He's the fucking backup. Fuck. He keeps it together just fine until they're dismissed. He's a goddamn professional. But Jesus, he wants to scream. Maverick agrees with him about Rooster. Hangman knows he does. He has to. But he picked Rooster anyway. God, it's such bullshit. It's bullshit. It's favoritism. It's guilt. And Maverick's letting all of it steer him in exactly the wrong direction. And if it's going to fix, as if it's going to fix what he did to Rooster's old man, if he lets Rooster get, Jesus, Hangman can't fucking stand it. And when they're done, when the briefing is over, it only takes him about 45 seconds to corner Rooster, grip him by the front of his uniform, and shove him up against a wall. Bet you're happy, huh? He bites outright in Rooster's face. Bet you're downright thrilled. Yeah, you got one over on me, all right. Rooster blinks at him. He looks kind of dazed, almost, like he was back in his head again, deep in there, wherever it is that he goes when he can't figure out what to do next. He isn't angry. He let Hangman shove him, and he's letting Hangman pin him, too. He's reached up on reflex, closed his hands around Hangman's wrists when Hangman grabbed him by the uniform jacket, but he isn't squeezing down, isn't dragging his fingers between the tendons or trying to twist Hangman loose. And then he laughs. Short, kind of startled, as if he wasn't expecting it any more than Hangman was. Are you kidding me, man? Are you kidding me right now? Jesus, he says, hushed, gentle even pitying. It's not about you. It was never about you. Can't you get that? It was! Hangman wants to shout. It fucking was! For 60 fucking seconds, right after he started talking shit about Rooster's dad, he had it all! It was him. He was the only thing in Rooster's entire fucking universe. Except he wasn't. Not really. Even then, it had been about Rooster. About his old man, about Maverick. Everything Rooster's been wrestling with this whole time, and Hangman had only been a fraction of a clue, had only ever been a thorn in Rooster's side in comparison. He's never going to get what he's been looking for, he understands dimly, standing there with his fists clenched in Rooster's shirt. And the worst part is, Rooster told him that already. He just hadn't been listening. Not really. He can break every record, pull off every trick move, be the best in the world. And Rooster still won't give a shit. Yeah, he hears himself say, and it sounds strange. Strained and hoarse, but he can't do anything about it. Yeah, I get it. And then he lets go, and he walks away. After. He starts to figure out how to live with it. It's a weird feeling, unfamiliar, this kind of resignation, maybe. There's always been somewhere to go, something to be good at, someone to beat. But somehow it just doesn't feel all that important now. He's still Hangman. He still talks a little shit now and then, but he gets tired of it, too, sometimes. Playing it up, keeping it rolling, on, all the time. It's a lot. And nobody seems to mind too much when he taps out early. When the Foxtrot teams, Maverick and Rooster, are about to head out, he catches Rooster on the deck before launch. Rooster's just walking, alone, not looking where he's going, in his head again, Hangman thinks. And for a weird, quiet second, he almost wants to smile. He doesn't. Rooster realizes there's somebody in front of him a couple strides off, and his head comes up. His face goes blank, a little wary. Not the time for speeches. Rooster's probably already making 10 of them to himself anyhow, Hangman figures. You give him hell! Short and sweet and to the point. Three things Rooster mostly doesn't have the hang of. So lucky for him, Hangman's here to help him out. And then, well, then it's time. And one. He's pretty pleased with the tray table line. Nice, even delivery, low key. Like he wasn't fucking panicking 2 minutes before, praying he was going to get there fast enough, willing himself to get a lock before the enemy could blow Rooster and Maverick out of the sky. It's fine. It's good. Rooster sets him up again, deliberate, and he gets that now, the olive branch of it. Rooster giving him a chance and letting him decide what to do with it, and he'd pick the same thing every time. But he is good, goddammit. He is good. And he's not going to let them lose anybody today. When he holds out his hand, he's thinking, maybe it's not every single thing he could ever want. A handshake, a smile, the way Rooster's looking at him. But it's pretty fucking great. He thought the best he was going to get was before, on the carrier. Rooster willing to listen to him for 10 seconds at a time, even when he didn't deserve it. But this is better. this is better by a mile and a half, and he'll take it. And then Rooster actually does it, hangs on tight and doesn't let go, keeps smiling at him, all this bright warmth in his eyes, sweaty, fucked up helmet hair and that fucking mustache, and fuck, Hangman thinks dimly. Rooster says something. He comes up with a reply, even if it's fucking stupid. Like Rooster somehow doesn't know 1 + 1 = 2. Christ. But he can't fucking think. Rooster tilts his head, quirks his mouth, raises his eyebrows, and Hangman can't figure out how to stop grinning at him, and his heart is fucking pounding. He manages to figure out how to turn away, and then Phoenix is right there, pulling him into a hug, generous in her joy, even though he's pretty sure she thinks he's an asshole. By the time she's done with him, Rooster's gone, and Hangman's stuck standing there thinking, no. No. No fucking way. He just wanted to be the best, goddammit. He wanted to be the best. He wanted everyone to know that he was, and he can't pinpoint when that turned into wanting Rooster to know that he was, but it did. He wanted Rooster to pay attention to him. He wanted Rooster to look at him. He wanted Rooster to punch him in the face, except that isn't actually what he wanted at all. He understands distantly, and Jesus, he is so fucked. The thing is, everything's a little different after that. Hangman doesn't really know how to define it at first, what's changed or why. He gets written up, obviously, for taking off like that when he wasn't authorized to do it, when permission had explicitly been denied, and he thought he'd be pissed, thought he'd be eaten up inside with the frustration of getting told he'd fucked up when he hadn't. But it's fine. He stands there at attention, eyes on the back wall, and he gets chewed out, and it's fine. He knows he did the right thing, and compared to that, it just doesn't seem to matter all that much what anybody else thinks of him. It's fucking weird, is what it is. That way lies a record like Maverick's, lies 30 years never making it above captain. But somehow he can't figure out how to care about that either. After they get back to shore, they all have leave. But once they've gotten a little rest, it isn't long before the whole mission team is arranging to meet up at the bar for a couple of rounds to drinks to celebrate. And that's fucking weird, too. Because they're all happy to see him. Still. Days off the carrier, plenty of time to settle back into old habits. But it's smiles all around, and Coyote's not the only one who's willing to slap him on the back or get him in a quick one-armed hug for a second. He doesn't have to win a bet, kick somebody's ass at pool, or hit 3 in a row at the dartboard before he's got himself a place in the circle, a beer being pressed into his hands. All that time he spent working at it, every second, trying so goddamn hard to be the best at everything, to make it so none of them could ignore him. And here it turns out what he actually needed to do was be somebody they wanted to like instead. Who knew? And it's like night and day with Rooster. The second the door opens, he's looking over. And when he sees it's Hangman, he smiles. He's talking to Phoenix and Bob, but he stops, interrupts himself, and steps away from them, just so he can stride over and shake Hangman's hand, clap him on the back and draw him over to the table, sit him down, and then sit down right next to him. It's actually a couple of tables, Hangman sees. Penny must have given the team permission to push them together for the night. And it's loud. Everybody grinning and elbowing each other, a ragged call for a toast going up every couple of minutes. Hangman can't hear the actual toasts half the time, but he drinks anyway. And Rooster. Rooster's turning around to talk to somebody every 10 seconds, getting congratulated or told what a lucky bastard he is. But he keeps a hand on Hangman's shoulder through all of it, open, casual. It feels like it's burning through Hangman's fucking shirt. Jesus, he thinks, and drinks some more beer. And then, about 20 minutes in, Rooster bends his head in close and says, "So, you look good." It's nothing. It's the same fucking thing he always says to Hangman. But every other time he said it, Hangman hadn't known. And now he does, and Christ. He looks away, tries to take a casual sip of his beer, and get his fucking head on straight. He can feel the heat in his ears climbing up his throat, and he just has to hope Rooster can't see it. Yeah, he fumbles. I mean, I am. Always do. Shit. Fuck. He's been playing these lines off for years without caring at all, because he knew he wasn't flirting. He was 200% sure of it. Now he's so fucking aware that he wants to, that he can't get a single goddamn sentence out of his mouth. He winces, presses the lip of his beer bottle to his mouth and tips it. Maybe if he just chugs the rest of it all at once, right now, he can give himself an excuse to get up, go get another, retreat, regroup, evacuate if he decides the situation on the ground warrants it. The beer stops tilting. Hangman blinks at the hand around it, around his, on it. A warm, steady weight over his knuckles. Rooster guides the beer down to the table, and Hangman doesn't quite figure out how to stop it. And he shouldn't look up, but he does. Rooster's looking right back at him, eyes dark, mouth slanting. Yeah, he says low, pointed, deliberate. You do. Jesus. For a second, Hangman's just stalled out. This must be what it used to be like for Rooster, he thinks distantly, in the air. Too many options, too many decisions, and every single one of them is fucking terrifying. But he's not Rooster. He swallows, wets his lips, and then he tilts his chin up, raises an eyebrow, and says, I'd look even better with my shirt on your floor, for the record. The slant gets wider, higher. And then Rooster snorts and shakes his head. Jesus, you really can't turn it off, can you? But he hasn't taken his hand off Hangman's around that beer bottle. He slid his fingertips between Hangman's, and his thumbs drawing a lazy arc along the heel of Hangman's palm. He isn't backing down, and he isn't backing off, and he isn't rushing to explain how he didn't mean it like that, how Hangman's got the wrong idea. Holy shit. Be honest now, Hangman manages hoarse. Would you want me to? Jury's still out, Rooster says, but he's grinning again, wide and warm, and he still hasn't moved an inch. So, okay. The rest of the night is the best kind of torture. Rooster doesn't leave him alone for a second, doesn't keep fondling his beer bottle either, but he makes up for it by shifting in his seat, and then it's his thigh is pressed to Hangman's, hip to knee, for fucking hours. They don't actually talk to each other much, but they don't have to. The way they're sitting, the way their eyes keep catching, is enough. And Jesus, Rooster looks so fucking pleased with himself. He looks good like this. Relaxed, open, comfortable, like he's not second-guessing himself. Not anymore. Hangman tries to focus through the scorching fucking anticipation. It doesn't really work. By the time the party breaks up for the night, somewhere around 2 a.m, he's hot all over, skin buzzing, something flipping over unsteadily in his chest again and again, a roll he can't pull out of. And the moment they're finally out of the bar, the moment he can turn and drag Rooster sideways around the corner, shove him up against the wall, it was all fucking worth it. Because Rooster makes this noise in the back of his throat and says, God, I knew you were going to be pushy. Like he's been thinking about this after all, and that's... You're serious, Hangman says, and he wants it to be teasing, goading, disbelieving, anything except what it is. Hushed, like he's afraid Rooster's going to say no. You're serious about this. Rooster's still smiling at him for a second, tipping his head back against the wall. And then he seems to hear it, understand it, and the smile's gone. Yeah, he murmurs, grave, earnest. Same old Rooster. Yeah, I am. You were always hot, but I could handle that when you were just an asshole. Hating you was easy. And then you had the nerve to turn out to be a real person somewhere in there. Because I saved your life? Best guess he's got, and he figures it's a pretty good one. But the next thing Rooster says is, no, not that. That hurt or anything, but before that, on the carrier. You always thought you were better than anybody, but I always thought I was better than you. Not in the air, he adds, but on the ground. I thought you were just some dick. I was reasonable, level-headed. I wasn't up my own ass. Wow, Hangman says. Okay, really selling me on this right now, I have to tell ya. Just shut up for 15 more seconds, will you? I thought I was better than you. But you were the one who could set all that shit aside when it came down to it. You were willing to come up to me and see me off when I wasn't going to do the same for a guy I owed a lot more than you owed me. And you didn't even know it. You weren't even trying to show me up. You were just doing the right thing. Hangman blinks. It was four words. It was the right thing, Rooster says. Everybody was going to clap you on the back for coming to save our asses. But nobody was going to thank you for doing that. And it would have been so fucking easy not to do it. But you did. Christ, Hangman says. Anybody ever tell you you tend to overthink shit, Bradshaw? And that makes that grin break out over Rooster's face again. Oh, fuck you, he murmurs. And then he grabs the front of Hangman's shirt, twists his hand in it, and drags Hangman in. Kisses him hard and hot and sure. And okay, Hangman thinks dimly. He's willing to let Rooster win this round. Fuck, he says against Rooster's mouth, and he's got his hands on Rooster's shoulders. Why does he have his hands on Rooster's shoulders? He drops them blindly, feels for the edge of Rooster's shirt, and then shoves them under it. I hated you too, you know. Yeah? Rooster gasps, a hot rush of breath across his cheek. Yeah, Hangman agrees. So much. I really, fuck, I hated you a lot. Your face, and your eyes, and your hair, your shoulders, your thighs, how much everybody liked you, how much time you spent looking at them and not at me. Oh, Rooster says. And he's not joking around anymore. A strange, soft tone in it that makes Hangman want to jerk away from him all at once. Laugh it off and then get the fuck out of here, except his hands are still shoved up Rooster's shirt. Except he doesn't actually want to go anywhere at all. Jesus, Jake. And then he's got Hangman by the nape of his neck, is hauling him back in before he can even finish explaining. But suddenly Hangman's pretty sure he's got the picture after all. The end.